Simon, what's your sermon? No, turn to somebody and with all the ebullience in you and the boastfulness in you, just say, Simon. That's right. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the blessings of life for today. We open your words, but we dare not do so without inviting your Holy Spirit's presence to be with us. So come, Holy Spirit, tabernacle with us, teach us, lead us, direct our thoughts, our mind, our understanding, and we tell you thanks in Jesus' name. For any devout Jewish male, celebrating Passover. Can somebody say Passover? Now you've got to give me a little more class participation. Passover. I forgot you. Ava is my friend from back in West Indies college days. Celebrating Passover in Jerusalem was the dream of a lifetime. Was a dream of a what? Okay. How can I explain it? Because I'm just in the country, getting a visa to America is a dream of a lifetime. Getting a U.S. citizenship is a dream of a lifetime. What's the dream of a lifetime? Getting a husband? All right. And Simon was a devout Jew. After all, wasn't his name Simon, named after one of the sons of Jacob, the patriarch? Come on, let's say it again. Isn't his name Simon? Wasn't Jacob's son named Simon? He's a devout Jew. You read in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to do it verse 5 and to verse 10. Acts chapter 2. If you want to put it on the screen, that's okay. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost chapter. Am I speaking to somebody? Yes. Verse 5. Acts 2 verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Devout men. Devout who? Oh, somebody dropped the mic again. Out of every nation under heaven. Out of every nation under where? Okay, so it lists a number of nations. But let me go to verse 10 to cement the point. Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt. And in the parts of Libya about Cyrene. Can somebody say Cyrene? And strangers of Rome, Jews and what? Proselytes. Cyrene? It is on the northeastern coast of Libya. You know that. Cyrene is one of the oldest Jewish communities outside Jerusalem. And can we agree with Dr. Bertram Melbourne, Dr. Gregory? In the book, 2,000 Years of Christianity in Africa, that Simon was African. Can we agree? So Simon is Jewish. Simon is African. Simon is African. And Simon is Jewish. Am I speaking to somebody? And he has plans for tonight. Anybody has plans for tonight? He has plans. I want you to insert yourself in the story this morning. He has plans for tonight. Tonight, he plans to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. Tonight, he'll eat bitter herbs and lamb. That's how they celebrate it. Tonight he'll recite the story of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Somebody ought to say amen. Does anybody remember how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt? Does anybody remember how God delivered you? When you didn't have, he delivered you. When you didn't have this, he delivered you. When your bills were to be paid, he delivered you. Am I speaking to somebody? Can somebody lift your hands in praise to Jesus? But this morning, that's tonight. As a tourist, he plans to tour the city. And as he's touring the city, he's coming into the city. And Jesus is going out of the city. Traveling in opposite direction, they meet. And I ask you the million-dollar question this morning. Is this coincidence or providence? Let me ask you another question. Did you come here by chance? Maybe their visitor is right here. A member is certainly here. But did you come here by chance? No, Simon is not a believer in Christ. No. He's not a believer in Christ. But how else is he going to be a believer if he doesn't meet Christ? But let me ask you another question. How else are they going to be believers if we don't introduce them to Christ? Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Can I get down into your alley this morning? If we don't introduce them, there are many ways we can introduce them. Use your giftedness, I always say. Use your giftedness. Can somebody say giftedness? There. There is Christ. He meets Christ, but there is Christ down on his knees, face in the dirt, and a cross astride his back. That's how he meets Christ. Hey, big man, black man, strong man. You know, they wouldn't call upon me. Big man, black man, strong man, pick it up. But I'm not from around here. You pick it up, said a soldier, or else we'll nail it to you. Now Simon is frustrated. And you would be too. If he picks up that cross, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, if he picks up that cross, he cannot approach a temple. If he picks up that cross, he cannot give his lamb to the priest. If he picks up that cross, he cannot eat and celebrate the Passover. He will be unclean. Simon is frustrated. He had scraped and saved and scraped and saved and scraped money for years for this pilgrimage. All that way, all that time, all that money, all for nothing. All that way, 900 miles, all that time, all that money, for nothing. Does anybody remember investing in anybody? And it seems as if it's all that way, all that time, and all that money, for nothing. Can a wife remember investing in a used-to-be husband? Or a mother in a son that just wouldn't take to education? All that way, all the time. All that money for nothing. Well, they asked a little boy, teacher was trying to teach a little lesson. What do you do when life throws you a lemon? And the little boy says, well, if he throws me a lemon, I'll fling it back at life. But seriously, the theological answer is watch God at work when circumstances press in on you. I said, watch God at work. Can somebody say, watch God? What do you mean? What do you mean, preacher? When sometimes you may have broken health. Sometimes you may have broken hearts, Sister Gloria. Sometimes you may have broken dreams. Am I speaking to somebody? Sometimes you may face rejection, yes. You may experience fear. You may experience betrayal. You may experience discouragement. You may experience crisis. But watch God at work. I like how the songwriter puts it. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes for you to know that God is there? What if the trials of this life are mercies in disguise? Can anybody testify? Can you just lift your hands in praise to Jesus? I think I hear encouragement thundering from highest heaven. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Can you lift your hands in praise to Jesus? No. Did I say some things work together for good? Did the text say most things work together for good? Did the text say few things work together for good? Did it say just one thing worked together for good? Everything that has happened in your life, understand that God is orchestrating it for your best health and interest. Can somebody praise the Lord? Yes, sirree. So, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the mountains. I don't know about you. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He has brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know of a God who could solve them. I wouldn't know that faith in God could do. So somebody had to say through it all. Come on, I need a little class participation. Somebody had to say through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend on His words. Can somebody just testify lifting their hands in praise of Jesus? Oh yes, oh yes. But I'm getting ahead of the story. I have a bad habit of getting ahead of the story. Sister Gloria, forgive me. Simon is an innocent sufferer. He's an innocent what? Black people have been innocent sufferers throughout history. You know that, don't you? Are you black? You know that, don't you? Yes, Simon is an innocent sufferer. Let's talk about some things just for a second or two. Slavery. The system. Oh, somebody missed me. Oops, it went over. Slavery. The system. The odds are stacked against us. Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah. You learn the rules and they change the game. Oops, somebody missed it. Please explain to somebody what I just said. I said you learn the rules. They change the game. You break the glass ceiling and they put up a concrete. You're overqualified, so you must train the person who is a little bit lighter than you in skin color. Am I speaking to somebody? You're overqualified, so you train the person. And the person who is less qualified gets more money than you. Am I speaking to somebody? You're overworked, you're underpaid. Oh, say it another way. You're underpaid, you're overworked. What do you do? But can you see? Innocent Jesus and innocent Simon carrying the cross. Oh, let's put it another way so I help you get the story. Can you see innocent Simon and innocent Jesus carrying the cross? Oh, say it again over this side. Somebody might get where I'm going. Can you see innocent Jesus and innocent Simon carrying the cross? Oh, say it another way. Can you see innocent Simon and innocent Jesus carrying the cross? Well, you get it now. Because don't you know that Jesus is our greatest coach? Don't you know that Jesus is your greatest mentor? Don't you know that Jesus is our greatest cheerleader? Because if you didn't get the point before, let me ask you the question. Whose cross is Jesus carrying? Your cross. See yourself as Simon in the story this morning. Whose cross is Jesus carrying? Simon, he's carrying my cross. He's carrying your cross. He's carrying a millennial cross this morning. He's carrying those of us a little bit older than millennials. He's carrying my Gen Z children cross this morning. He's carrying all of our cross. For he did no sin, knew no sin, but he bear our cross. I hear the songwriter says, Jesus bear it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I what? Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Can you lift your hands in praise to Jesus if you have been redeemed? Yes, he's carrying the cross. He's carrying the cross. Don't you know that Jesus is our best support system? Okay, let's get to the Psalms. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Been a search all over heaven. Whom have I in heaven but thee? When I search all of earth, who's got my back? Because young people, if you don't know, one of the truest things about life is that you will certainly have true enemies and false friends. Just have a little bit of money. And then, oops, play the experiment. Don't have any money. And you will see how true the statement is. True enemies and false friends. Am I speaking to somebody? But Jesus has got our back at all times. Can somebody praise the Lord? He says, I will never know, not never. Oh, that's wrong English. But that's how it is expressed in the Greek. I will never know, not never leave thee or forsake thee. What a good God. What do you see out there? Oh, yes. But I'm getting ahead of the story. Please forgive me. Simon is experiencing discrimination. Yes, yes, yes. You see, you don't understand the public shame of the cross. Then, the cross itself bore the curse of God. You got to read Galatians 3 verse 13. Don't have time for it right now. But read it in your spare time. Then the cross itself bore the curse of God. It was deemed as a curse of God. Don't you hang somebody on that cross. It's a curse, the Bible says. The Bible says. Then no Jerusalem citizen would touch it, the cross. Then no Roman citizen would touch it. Simon is picked out. Can somebody say picked out? Because of his skin color. Some say he was mulatto. If you are a historian, he's quadroon. That means a drop of black is in him, so he's all black. That's what quadroon means. Okay, somebody write it down. He's picked out because he's an immigrant. Discrimination. We can all relate to it, can't we? Discrimination. They see you as flawed. They see you as unworthy of love. They see you as not belonging. And when you tap into history, the only original Americans are Native Indians. So the rest of us are all immigrants. Am I speaking to somebody? Discrimination. Is it only me? Maybe the young people can. Is there a thing called iTunes? There's such a thing called iTunes, right? Discrimination. This is all the iTunes stuff sounds. You're never good enough. The song is playing. You're never successful enough. And you've heard it when you were a little too. You're never smart enough. Though we were inventors. Though we were the birth of civilization. Though Pythagoras came up with this fantastic mathematics idea. Though we were the philosophers and the Greeks borrowed it. Okay, so I used to do history. It's one of the degrees I have. You're never pretty enough, the iTunes song. It's a number one song. You're never brown-skinned enough. Back where I come from, they bleach. You don't know those things. Stuff up here. Why did you make me black? The black prayer. Why did you make me black? Why did you make someone the world would hold back? Can I remind you this morning that you're special? Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. I need somebody to turn to somebody and say, you are special. Come on, come on. No. Turn to yourself now. Preachers like to say, turn to a neighbor. Turn to yourself and say, I am special. No. You've got to do it with some authority and some audacity. Turn to yourself and say, I am special. It's because you are gifted and they can't handle your giftedness. I'm speaking to somebody. You're a game changer. You are gifted. You are chosen. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. Am I speaking to somebody? Special. Okay, you don't understand. So let me do it another way. When God was about to make the tree, he spoke. Can somebody say spoke? To the earth. And tree came up. When God was about to make the fish, he spoke. Can somebody say spoke? To the sea. And fish came out. But when he was about to make me, there was no tree. There was no sea. The only authority that he could speak to, the highest authority that he could speak to, was himself. He said, let us make man. In our image, can somebody just clap your hands? I'm special. I'm chosen. I'm gifted. I'm a game changer. So Simon now hears the rest of the black prayer. You can dig it up. I'm accustomed to young people digging up the stuff while you're preaching. Get off your knees. I can't give you everything. It's a long prayer. But this is a part that fascinates and encourages me. It is encouragement thundering in my ears. It's encouragement that pushes against the negativity that is going on inside of me. It's encouragement that pushes against the negative self-talk in my head. Get off your knees. Look in the mirror. And tell me, what do you see? I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the image of me. Somebody had to say, praise the Lord. Pick it up. Whoops. But this time, who says pick it up? It's not the soldier. It is compassion. Watch the attitudinal adjustment now.
And some of us need an attitude adjustment. Oh, your attitude affects your altitude. Oh, say it again, preacher. Your attitude affects your altitude. If some of us had better attitude, we would climb higher. We would achieve more things. We'd be able to maximize on our potentialities and on our giftedness. Am I speaking to somebody? And this time he picks it up. For your text says he was compelled, but this time he picks it up voluntarily. And he places it on his shoulder. Yes, it's true, my brother. He knows right away that he's in the presence of supernatural power. Can somebody say power? Can somebody say power again? We don't serve a wishy-washy, ampy-pampy, chicken chest. Don't look at my chest. Soft-bellied, weak-kneed God. We serve a God that is unlimited in power. Surely, he says, the presence of the Lord is in this place. I'm talking about Simon. And now something is happening to him. Simon is turning around. Simon is changing course from city. Remember, he was coming into the city. He was coming from the country where he was lodging. That was his inn. That was his motel. That's where he was staying to celebrate the Passover. But watch the change. Watch the turning around. He is turning from city to Calvary. Oh, somebody miss it. He's turning from hatred to hope. He's turning from bitterness to belief. There's something about this Jesus. And don't you know that when you come in contact with Jesus, there's something about him. Simon is following Christ to the hill, Sister Gregory. Yes, yes, physically. Because your text that we read a while ago says he was behind, put it on the screen, Luke 23 verse 26. The text says he was behind Jesus. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country. Put it on the screen, my brother. And put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Am I speaking to somebody? So literally, Simon is walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Every step that Jesus makes, Simon imitates that step. Every step you take, every move you make, he's watching Jesus. He's imitating Jesus. And there's a lesson for us. We can't just only come to church. We must follow our Lord every step of the way. I should tell him that I stamp a lot. It's okay. Let it stay there for a little bit. It can bear a cross too. Not only is he following. Can I ask somebody, is there anyone ready to follow the Lord? Who will say, I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever thy lot may be. Where thou goest, I will what? Yes, my what? My Lord, I will follow thee. Can somebody lift their hands in praise to Jesus? But he's walking spiritually behind Jesus too. Okay, let's use the next couple of minutes. Let's say 1 o'clock, I'm supposed to be through. But let's use the next few minutes. Literally, he's walking behind Jesus. Physically, he's walking behind Jesus. Yeah. I have it. Thank you, though. That thing bothers me. Spiritually, he's walking behind Jesus. How do I know that? Simon, Mark 15, verse 21. Mark 15, verse 21. I want you to see the text. A certain man from Cyrene. Simon, the father, the who? Of Alexander and Rufus. Father. Father. No, no, no. Dr. Gregory knows that Mark was written to the Roman audience. Dr. Gregory knows that Mark was written about AD 60, 65, late 60s, probably 70. It's a gospel that is being preached to the Romans. And why mention Alexander and Rufus? It's because these boys are now prominent leaders in the Church of the Living God. Something happened to Simon. He went back home and became a godly father. Oops, no father will give me any amen right now. Because the mothers are doing the stuff that fathers should be doing. Oh, no, it does not mean in Victory Church. The fathers are really fathers here. Simon, the father, he went back home and became a godly father. Fathers, we need to take up our responsibilities. We should lead worship. We can't leave it to the mothers. And if there is a mother here, tell the father, take up your responsibility. It's not only to provide food. I'm learning with my son that I have to deposit love in him. If you deposit love in him, you can extract obedience from him. When you deposit love, it's easy to withdraw obedience. We are doing this thing without a context. We're doing this thing without a relationship. Am I speaking to somebody? Simon is following his Lord spiritually. But he's following his Lord as a father, a godly father. Something happened to him. The cross event happened to him. It changed him. And he went back home and became a godly father. Stick a pin. I'm coming back to that for a little bit. Simon became a godly husband. Romans chapter 16. Put it on the screen. Verse 13. Verse 13. I read from the clear word. It's the Adventist version. Greet Rufus for me. Greet who? Where did you hear the word Rufus before? Mark 15 verse what? And Mark is written to the Romans. And Romans is written to who? Anybody can guess? To the Romans. Oh, so let me say it again. Oops. I used to teach. So Mark is written to the Romans. And guess what the book of Romans is written to? To whom? Romans. Greet Rufus for me, a chosen disciple in the Lord, and also his mother. Also whom? So who was Rufus? Simon's son. And who is the mother to Simon? His wife. The cross event had an impact on him. That he went back home and became a godly husband. Well, let me tell you something quickly. After 23 years, I've discovered it with my marriage. That you have got to be a godly man and a godly woman. A beautiful man and a beautiful woman. A handsome man, if you want to use that. And a beautiful woman only make a beautiful wedding ceremony. But a godly man and a godly woman makes a wonderful marriage. You marry not necessarily to be happy. You marry to be holy. Because it lifts you. I'm a little, you know, before I got married, I was the most perfect person. But in that encounter with my wife after 23 years, and she's looking better now. Yeah, she fill out nicely, you know. Yeah, she had some color bones. I could drink water. Sorry, honey. Oh God, I'm in trouble. But she fills out. No. The good news is the last part. She fills out nicely, and he became a godly husband. But wait, stop a little bit. Read a statement from Ellen G. White. She's got just 2-3 sentences about Simon in all of this story. And the 2-3 sentences go something like this. That the boys were already believers in Christ. The boys are already believers in Christ. But Simon was not a believer in Christ. What happened? What happened? What happened? Well, in the Jewish economy, the ladies, the mothers were the ones who did the teaching up to a certain point. Can I say it again? Up to a certain point, they did the teaching. But since she can't come out, because the man in the patriarchal society rules, she can't come out and declare her Christianity. She wait until the boys leave. When the boys leave, they became powerful leaders in the house of God. Am I speaking to somebody? And when the cross event came to Simon, it changed him. But it already changed her. Am I speaking to somebody? Yes, sirree. So here's a message. Here's a message. Here's a message. Is there a wife here who doesn't have a husband in church right now? Keep on praying. Is there a wife here, a mother here, who has a son who is not serving the Lord? Keep on praying. Because Simon was an older man when he met Jesus. He might have been 60 or 65 when he met Jesus. But over the years, someone was praying. Over the years, someone was agonizing. Over the years, someone was interceding. Keep on praying. Prayer! Move the arms of the Omnipotent One into action. There is power in prayer. Can somebody praise the Lord? I guess I'm trying to say, Simon became a convert. From a drafty, you know drafties. Yeah. In the army, they say, oops, you come. Oops, we need it for the army. He was compelled. He was forced. But he moved from a drafty to a volunteer. Who is volunteering himself, herself, for Jesus? From unbeliever to disciple. Have thine own way, Lord. Play softly for me. From a drafty to a volunteer. See yourself in the story this morning. Can you delete for a moment, Simon, and insert your name in the story? Visitor, member, from an unbeliever to disciple, because some of us are members, but we are not yet believers. Some of us are members, but we are not yet disciples. From unbaptized to baptized. Somebody here is not yet baptized, but needs to make a decision for Christ. I guess the substance of my sermon this morning is, he moved from Passover to Pentecost. He was disappointed that he couldn't participate in the Passover. But if you read the text again, Acts chapter 2 verse 10. There are folks who are gathering on the day of Pentecost. And some all the way from Libya in a part called Cyrene. And don't you tell me that after spending so much money and going all the way, so much time, 900 miles to come to Jerusalem, that you only come to a Passover and you don't go to a Pentecost 50 days later. It's just about a month. Simon enlisted himself. Simon listened to the sermon of Peter and was baptized on the day of Pentecost. Am I speaking to somebody? It's not good only to come to church. We've got to make a commitment. I used to think, Pastor, that church was going to be the easiest thing when I came in, this young little fellow. But I found that members are
will make you swear like Moses and strike the rock a second time.
You're here at the service, that's Passover. But somebody need Pentecost. You may have been baptized with water, but the question is, are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? You may have received the former rain in your soul some time ago, but the question is, what about the latter rain? What is the problem with the church? What is the problem with the church in Ephesus? In Ephesus, God loves the church. It's a beautiful church. It's going forth conquering and to conquer. But by the time you get down to Laodicea, Jesus is outside the door knocking. What is God doing outside the church knocking? What is he doing outside the church knocking? Some of us will weep when we come to the altar. There's a little story there that comes a little bit after Luke tells a Simon story. And immediately he talks about some weeping woman. And the point that Luke is making, for these guys are not just picking up story. They're telling a message. They're preaching the gospel. He's telling us that it's not good enough to only weep. We've got to bear the cross. From weeping to cross bearing.
Oh, everybody's standing right now. I've got just 5 seconds leave. I've just got about 5 seconds leave. Oh, the pastor said I can take my time.
But somebody right here, I'm going to first ask you to raise your hand. You're not yet a baptized member of the Church of the Living God. And you want to move from just Passover, from just coming to a church service. You want to go to Pentecost where you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. Where are you? Just raise your hand where you are. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Somebody else. Simon just raised his hand a while ago. Somebody else. Right now. You're not a baptized member of the Church of God. But right now, you're inserting yourself into the story. I want to be a Simon. I want to be a godly father. I want to be a godly husband. Hey, I just want to be a Christian. A born-again Christian. You want to raise your hand where you are? Just lift it up. Raise that hand. God bless you, my brother. I see you. Can somebody say amen? Somebody is. The personal ministry team is praying right now. And if you can, just go right beside the brother. Because if Jesus could stand with Simon at the cross, bearing Simon's cross, we can stand beside a brother. Two brothers just raised their hands a while ago. So somebody just stand right beside him right now, right this very minute. This is Holy Ghost minute. This is Holy Ghost time. This is Holy Ghost speaking. Have thine own way, Lord. Hold on my being. Absolute sway. Can you walk with that brother? Can you walk with the other brother to the altar for a moment or two? Right now. Somebody's humming softly right now. You got to help me bear this cross right now. Put it on the screen. Humbly I bow of thine own way. Have thine own way. I am the clay. Somebody else want to step out of his or her seat? A wife want to step out. Represent yourself as Simon's wife right now. You've got a Simon that you're praying for. I think something happens when you come to this altar. It's an altar of victory. It's an altar of surrender. It's an altar that says, I'm putting it in the hand of God to have his own way, to have absolute sway. So I'm going to invite you. Just step out. a mother, a wife. Step out, step out. An Adventist, just step out right now. Presence, presence, humbly. Put it on the screen, that song. Have Thine Own Way, number 567. Step out for Jesus. Step out. My second call is to members of the church. Not just a churchgoer. Committed member. Be a Simon. There's a reason Simon's story is inserted in all three passages. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Be tired of just nominal Christianity. Be tired. Aren't you tired of sinning? So I'm going to invite members right now just to step out, step out, step out, step out for Jesus. Make a commitment. Recommit yourself to Jesus this morning. To the altar, to the altar, to the altar, to the altar. That's what this altar is for. Come on, come on. Have Thine Own way. Way, Lord, have Thine Own way. You are. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Can you lift those hands? Let's surrender to Him. While I am waiting. Yielded and still. Some more members need to come to Jesus. Not just weeping, but cross-bearing time now. Model. Follow. Simon. When other disciples failed Jesus, it was only Simon who was there to bear Jesus' cross. Other members may fail Jesus in this church. And you know some of us fail Jesus. But that's okay. Because we're not looking to members. We're looking to Jesus for salvation. Somebody ought to say amen. Come. Have Thine Own way. Is there someone else? You're a visitor. You want to step out? Say, Lord, I need to give God my life this year. Life is so uncertain. Every now and again, there's a new disease, virus. Come on, lift those hands to Jesus. One more of Thine Own way. Have Thine Own way, everybody. Let's surrender. Let's surrender, everyone. Absolute. Fill with Thy Spirit. Till all shall see Christ only. Dr. Gregory, these are your people. Can you present them to the Lord? Christ only always living in. Somebody just lift their hands in praise to Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, hallelujah.
Shall we pray? What a mighty God we serve. God who can use anyone who is willing. Once he surrendered to the power of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit will work in and through him. We thank you, God, for your manservant. For the words you have brought through him to us, whereby we can realize that we can stand up and be counted as your children. We thank you again for the opportunity that we are still on repentance ground.
Yes.
Still have time to say, Lord, we have sinned. Lord, forgive. And we have the full assurance that before we call, you will answer our requests. Oh God, we give you thanks for the invitations of raise your hands, indicating they want to walk with you into baptism. We thank you, God, for their commitment. We thank you for the assurance you have given to us and to them that once they place their hands in your hands, no one, nothing can pluck them from your hands. Hold them up, O God. Keep instructing them. Keep encouraging them. Give them hope that once they walk with you, you can take them home to your Father's kingdom. We pray again, O Father, for the membership at large. We desire to see everyone be saved in your kingdom. Somehow, some of us have things holding us back. The love of the world, pleasures, the love of money, the love of position, love of possession, the love of power. God, work in our hearts and make us humble. We bow our knees before you, bow our hearts before you. We bear our soul to you, O God, that you'll wash us, you will cleanse us, you'll fortify our minds so we can become like your Son, Jesus Christ. May we follow him every hour of the day. Yes, the road may be rough, but you have promised to be with us. Yes, there are challenges, but you have promised to make us overcomers. God, there are sacrifices we have to make. We don't make them our own because we can do nothing without you. Father, we look forward to the day when you will come. Put an end to sin. Put an end to sinners and take your people home. We pray, O God, that all of us who are here today along with our loved ones will have the tingling joy to walk with you into eternity and live with you forever. Accept our prayers as we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, and keep us faithful, we pray, until you come. In Jesus' name, can we all say amen.